May 17, 2021. It's the Live from Pete Rose Show. Show Happy Monday. Start off John Coltrane doing Welcome, and then Yardwork, who I'm going to welcome. Yeah, all Andy were the Borogroves. It's like sort of that Jackerwobbly.
Yes, yep. There, yeah, absolutely.
Some Lewis Carroll. Yeah. Or Dr. Donald. What was his name? That was some kind of pseudonym. Anyway, people, you can hear through the miracle of those Estonian software engineers and their scab invention, right? We got Thomas and Matthew. You guys are talking to me from Columbia, right?
Nah, I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina on vacation. From Charlotte.
Okay, so they're in different towns.
New York City, very much not on vacation right now.
Okay, so, yeah. Okay. Well, Dylan Dickerson made the connect, and he's a Columbia guy.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah.
And then you must share some history with him there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yardwork used to play with Yardwork played with his band when he was, like, I think almost like a teenager, set up through his brother Eli down in Atlanta. So we've been playing with Dylan, definitely the first tour we ever went on, we played with Dylan. So, yeah, he's been around us and playing with us, and we've been playing with him for, you know, 10 or 12 years we've known him.
So the connects remain, but the pads have changed.
Yep, right on.
Okay. It can get confusing. There's a couple of Columbias.
Yep.
A couple of USCs. You know, we got one. Ours are Trojans. Yeah. Yours are Gamecocks.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, you remember, do enough tours, it gets beat into you.
Yeah.
It's all interesting. I love all the different pads everywhere. So
yeah,
let's go through you guys. Who wants to go first?
Matt, you want to go first, man?
Because I want to it's like your little journey through music. Like, for instance, what's your earliest recollection, your earliest music memory?
I remember I had friends of the family had kids all the same age, and I was the youngest. They didn't have a kid to match me, and so I'd go over to their house and be hanging out with my brothers and older fellas, and the oldest brother of the other family had John Spencer Blues Explosion poster up, and it was silver, and it had an orange theremin on it. But I didn't know it was a theremin at the time. I thought it was just an amplifier.
You know what? So, you know what it didn't have?
What's that?
A bass player.
No.
That poor Loman kick drum.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, Mr. Simmons? But, no, great fucking band, great band.
Yeah, so I saw that, and I was like, oh, that's a cool band. These fellas like it. And so next time my dad took me to the CD store on the weekend, I bought John Spencer Blues Explosion Orange, that record. And I haven't not heard it ever, just seen a picture of a theremin that I thought was an amplifier and put it on, and it was the weirdest fucking thing I'd ever heard in my life. And you know, at when you're that young, if you hear something strange and like also dissonant's not the word, but it wasn't trying to be super palatable, you know, and it turned me off at first, but then, you know, I had some level of persistence at the time where I really applied my ear to it and tried hard to like it and managed to do it. And that was probably, I don't know, the first time that I got into and tried to understand something that wasn't easy at first.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like the first time you play somebody Trout Mask replica or some shit.
And something you got to figure out. You know?
Absolutely. And everybody's got their own way of doing that. Now, yeah. Now the pad you grew up in, did you have music instruments?
No, I was, my dad, it was a very literary household, but nothing for music. And, I had a buddy, Jordan Schmidt, who moved to town when I was like 7 or 8, and he had, a guitar, and I thought that was pretty cool. And so my 8th birthday, I asked my dad for a guitar, and we went and got, you know, one of the little starter pack things. It was a little PV Raptor and some combo amp and stuff. And, yeah, set out trying to learn all the Grateful Dead songs I could at 8 years old.
You didn't want to learn them fucking Orange songs from the John Spencer record.
No, you would pretend, if you had an electric guitar and you were an 8-year-old boy, you would pretend like you were making those noises, but you find out that sounding like that is much harder than it sounds like it is. You know, you think it's just racket, and then you're like, well, my guitar doesn't fucking sound like that. How do you do that?
That's a good point. That is a good point. Now, what about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
Oh, no, I was barely in school. I mean, I did it. But I was enthusiastic about other things.
Well, some schools got rid of their music. I always ask that question because some of those guys got rid of their programs. Some cats, they learned buttloads in it.
Yeah.
I wish I did. I swear to God, I wish.
But that's why I asked.
It's silly how little I know about music now.
Yeah, but there's a lot of ways to know, right? Because I think the knowledge is different. If you can work a room from a stage, you know some music in my book.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, you'll never know what wisdom you pick up as far as music goes and what would fuck it up if you knew it. You know, like, what Bill Withers said, I don't know a G sharp from a jelly roll, but I can write a fucking song.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of, there's some sort of magic there. Like,
there was cats who made a living as a session man, a side man.
Yeah.
Like that, like Glenn Campbell did it all by his fucking ear.
That guy's awesome.
He's on some good records on his own too, but he was helping other people out also. Like Beach Boys and shit. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. What about so you got a guitar. And mm-hmm. In fact, it's got an amp too and shit. And so you're learning on your own, or do you get a teacher?
I took lessons for a little bit, for maybe a year or two when I was real young. A fella, Rusty, I can't remember his last name, but he was in a band called the Part Time Blues Band, which is a great name for an old blues dude who teaches at a music store. And I would, you know, the way it would go, maybe I learned scales and I forgot them. I don't know, but I would basically just bring in a CD to Rusty, and Rusty would teach me whatever song I wanted to listen to. And I'd go off and practice it and bring it back, show him what I did, learn another song, sort of like that. And I don't know what it built up in musical knowledge, but it kept me interested. You know, being able to play almost off the bat, songs that I loved and wanted to hear and wanted to emulate, and, you know, whatever my musical identity was at the time. It was a real good way to keep me playing, and I'm grateful for that.
Well, yeah, me too. Thank you very much, Mr. Part-Time, full-time teacher. And probably full-time music, too, you know, swinging that like that. Spread the knowledge. I think it's beautiful. Now, what about in the afternoon when school's out? Did you do the garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
I didn't play in a band for long. You know, I was well involved in the whatever the punk scene was in my high school. There was a lot of, like girl jeans bands going on, but there was a couple of dudes that were kind of casualty punk, you know, bullet belt punks, and those are the folks that I ran with. And I got real into all the other stuff about bands, like everything else that goes into a band besides playing the music. Drew all the shirts, flyers, all that stuff, everything that's built up around a band. I was really into that.
Why didn't you want to sling some guitar?
I don't know, man. I was pretty into drugs. I was pretty into girls. And I in some sense, I thought that do the thing you're best at. And, I'm probably better at all the other stuff than I am music, but I can't put the music down, you know? And there wasn't a hell of a lot. You know, there was one band like that. There was one punk band, Minority Party. They're fucking great. But all the spots were taken up in Minority Party, you know?
You want to start? Look, I'm going to play some Yard Work, Son of Pomegranate.
Thank you. you say that I'm cruel, then yes, I'm cruel. Cruel as the teeth of wind, ripping at the rib cages of bossy roofs, standing alone in the hillside shadow. Cruel? Yes. Cruel as the eagles pecking at the sheep's carcass of a man inside, their beaks tearing at intestines and limbs, picking the eyes from their sockets. Cruel as the fox in the chicken coop, leaving nothing but feathers. The cat in the garden, the otter sinking its teeth into the eel. If you say that I'm cruel, then yes, I'm cruel. Cruel as the peat bog drowning stray waters, the smoke rising from the forest fire, ashes to ashes. Cruel as the tides beat in the shore, the weight of the waves eroding the face from the cliff, the flood pushing the riverbank against the traffic. Cruel as rockfall, cruel as a sunset, a murmur of starlings, cruel as the first day of spring.
The scene and folks and players like me and Thomas owe a great debt to you. You dug a lot of ditches, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Well, we got about twice as many more to do. We'll get them out of the way. Matthew, thanks much for that spiel. That's fucking happening. Let me tell the people, they just heard at the beginning of that Chuck music, Yardwork with Son of Pomegranate, then brand new from Barcelona, Blood Quartet. He's got a cap from the old New York City no wave scene.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been living over there a lot of years. He's got band with the Catalans and that shit. And this is Surfing Areta. Mocked after that brand new out of the Netherlands, Rotterdam now. Used to be Den Haag. Committee 2020. Then SLWCC Watt, Rock Me Apocalyptic. That's his project out with Sam Ward in Iowa City. Fuck, come on. Alzheimer. You're always in new bands, right? You're always doing new projects. You're always playing new towns. Bob Bucko, after that, is Junior, his buddy from Dubuque nearby, and he's on the record, too, on sax. Then followed through the open door, Bombas Prendon. That's from, those are VCU guys from D.C. area. Sophie Sparham and Christopher Gregory out of, Derby, near Nottingham. In England, Cruel as a Sunset, Clunk with Godena Kasena. God, what are these cats? So maybe East Europe. Are You a Cop? They're out of Valley here. Good Times. Maybe Shadow Hills. Yeah. Quarantina, Part 14, Red Flag. This is Joe Carter Bones' Quarantina series. And then finally, something you cats gave me, Matthew Thomas, joint D with the little equal sign.
Yeah.
And something called Snakeskin.
Yeah, that's a band that I play bass in.
Okay. And Thomas, your turn now.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Earliest musical recollection, please.
Yeah, I remember like when I was. This is a little bit farther back. This is some station wagon shit. But I remember hearing like "Do You Love Me?" I can't remember who sang it, but
a lot of people covered it.
Yeah, like the song, you know, about like, oh man, this is one of those like, you know, listing all the dance moves you can do, type songs. And I remember hearing that and just like freaking out as a little kid.
Johnny Thunders had a great version.
Oh man, I would love to hear that.
The real Heartbreakers, right?
Yeah.
Nothing against Mr. Petty and stuff, but yeah, they're calling out all the dance moves.
That's when you had
songs about the scenes, right? It's all self-reference. That's a trip.
Yeah, man, I enjoyed that. I don't know why, as a kid, I already started enjoying that self-referential stuff. But
yeah.
That one hit me hard. I think Down on the Corner hit me hard, and Live and Let Die. I think how is this happening?
You're talking Creedence.
Yeah, Creedence and Paul McCartney.
Well, Down on the Corner, that's how we used to fucking tune our guitars, bass.
That's awesome.
We thought if you played Down on the Corner, it sounded right, you were in tune. But we didn't know your Down on the Corner had to be the same as the other guy. We thought some dudes like their strings tight, some like them loose, you know.
Yeah, that sounds like a loose song, too. It sounds like that you should be, you know, real loose, you know.
That's a trip. You know, another tune that was cool that way, where they're calling out the dances. And in fact, I think it's 1965 and Half the Count Offs in Rock Espanol.
Cool.
Yeah, what's it called? Woolly Bully.
Woolly Bully, yeah.
Right? Don't be L7. That's pretty hip for 1965, right?
That is pretty cool. And like, I mean, and Woolly Bully and stuff like that, like as a kid, like hearing that kind of music, like me and Matt have made the parallel with the Ramones, like all kids like the Ramones because they sound like silly to kids, you know, like they sound like, you know.
Well, I think the Ramones was coming out of a lot of that, not so much blues, more of that kind of trippy, I don't know, 60s rock and roll.
Yeah,
that was kind of mixed with some pop or some it's trippy stuff. I had to learn the whole first Ramones album to do with Clem Burke for the 40th anniversary. Mickey, Joey's brother, has this benefit he does for lymphoma up in New York City.
Right on, yeah.
And it was a trip learning them songs. The bass guy wrote it, Dee Dee. He wrote almost all the tunes. So tell me, was there instruments in the pad you grew up in?
Not really, man. I mean, my mom had, she kind of played the piano a little bit, but the only thing I ever heard her play was, Everything I Do It For You from the Robin Hood movie.
Now, but did you ever jump on that piano yourself?
I would try, man. I would try. I would have fun with it, but yeah. I wasn't practicing. I was just like, you know, making sounds and like having fun.
Did you get the lesson thing? The teacher
never got piano lessons. Okay. I feel like every musician regrets not getting piano lessons.
I don't know. Some have horrible experiences that have been on this show told me they almost hated music because of it. And it seems like almost every time it's about the teacher.
I mean, I did have a guitar teacher when I was a kid, like probably when I was like 12.
How'd you get on the guitar?
You know, it was Nirvana. It was like, you know, I started seeing guitars on TV. I started seeing people play guitars on TV and do rad stuff. And I was like, I want to do that. And, of course I get an acoustic and, you know, I'm just like, man, this isn't what I had in mind. So, you know, go to Steve Post in Smithfield, North Carolina. And he was good, man. No issues there, but I just didn't enjoy, I would enjoy lessons now, but I just could not get into learning someone else's songs. I couldn't get used to like learning the mechanics. I just wanted to, you know, feel.
Let the freak flag fly. Not, no,
exactly.
Did you say fuck it and just make a band anyway?
No, I mean, I said fuck it many years after that when I like just joined a hardcore band as a vocalist. Like, I was just like, you can just scream in front of people. Yeah. Like, I'm going to do that. Like,
sure. Okay. Yeah. And you got to make flyers like, you know, Matthew.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely. Like, I think Matthew was definitely like, you know, he was when me and him started a band together, that's really when I started getting back into any sort of visual art, when me and him started doing flyers together. Cause I really liked his work with Minority Party, doing some of those flyers. They just like blew me away. So,
yeah, but
there was
already too many dudes in Minority
Party. Yeah.
Okay. So you start. How do you guys meet to make the band?
You know, just like a lot of other stories, we met in college. We met up at Appalachian State in Boone, North Carolina.
Okay.
And I left school, and then eventually, like, you left school too, right, Matt? Like, and we just kind of...
Yeah, I moved to Asheville for like a minute, and then landed back in Davidson, near Charlotte. And you saw I was bummed out, and you're like, why don't you join this band?
Because I started I basically...
Also, you already had the band.
Well, it was forming, right? Like, the hardcore band I was in kind of, you know, disbanded, and I didn't want to stop playing music, but I didn't play any instruments. Like, I was, like, 24, and I didn't play anything. So I just started demoing stuff, you know, GarageBand in front of the computer.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I felt comfortable doing that. And I showed some folks. I probably showed Matt. He's probably one of the first people I showed. And I basically, like, just started recruiting people that I wanted to be around. If they knew how to play guitar a little bit.
Thomas, I can't tell you how it was in the early days of the scene in the 70s over here.
Yeah.
Joe Baeza didn't start playing guitar till he's 27. And a couple years later,
I love the way he plays too,
a couple years later, he's transposing Charlie Parker solos.
Yeah. That's insane.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour. I know, but it shows you if you're motivated, fuck it, right?
Yeah, right.
We're at the end of the first hour, May 17, 2021, Dish Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Thomas Matthew. Hold tight for hour two! May 17, 2021, second hour, Watt Pedro Show.
I'm Woke up early the other day, had to run for the toilet right away. Don't know what's wrong with me, my feces are soft and full of pee. Going wild, pray to God I'm having a child. Can't wipe it, I can't hold it in. Never gonna go to first standards again. Fish shit, fish shit. Fish shit, fish shit. Fish shit full of bubbles. Go to work and I have trouble. Every day, my leg is wet. And the spell, I can't forget. Fish shit, fish shit. Fish shit, fish shit. I'm gonna go to the bar.
birds chasing after me. I woke up late on a Tuesday, I called you up with nothing to say. Making friends, losing them, is always the same. Stuff you see on the TV, everything calling my name. So when I have a son, I'm gonna lock up in his room. Won't let the world get to him. Throw away the TV and the internet connection. When I have a son, I'm gonna shelter him. He'll never see a magazine. The world is evil, that's what I'll make him think. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's right. Well, for Pedro Show, we start off second hour, Quad doing Cashew Child. Then Black Randy and the Metro Squad, Beer Shit Disco Loner. Ramon Morrow, Near Pisa, with Gustav Mahler's Fourth Adagietto, Symphony No. 5. Rex after that, When I Sleep. Lucas Sabel out of Sydney. B is for Blister. Kiwi Jr. out of Toronto with Leslie. And finally, Jimmy's World. Again, Quad. What's Quad, guys?
Quad is a band that I started. It's probably the most recent band for me. I started that. I was living in Charleston. I think you interviewed Brett Nash like a year ago or something.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Another one of Dylan's friends. Yeah, man. But yeah, it was, I was there for about 5 years and started a quad with David Petipane, and Camila Guerva and Scott Dentz, down there. He's in a real good band called Dumb Doctors. But, yeah, man, we started that kind of same thing, just demoing stuff and then kind of recruited people I wanted to play with. I think that's like a good formula.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get back to it. Matthew here, so you're like demoing. You're playing them songs you wrote.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So I came to it with Matthew and a bunch of other folks. At one point, there was like eight or nine of us in the band.
Damn.
I mean,
I don't know. One time, 12 people. I don't know. It was one of those. It's like to call it a party band. To denigrate what it was, but it was.
Can you tell me what were the instruments? Was everybody on guitar or what?
We had three guitar players. Usually had three guitar players. That was kind of like the setup. Two drummers. So we had like Taylor Knox on drums and Eddie Schneider playing kind of a version of a cocktail kit that he kind of cobbled together, which worked real well. They would kind of face each other. And then we had Andy Thulis on saxophone. He started out on, man, he got in the band. We never asked him to join the band. He just showed up with a tambourine. And, you know, it's kind of like Matt, like, couldn't find his way in the Minority Party, so we drew flyers for him. And he couldn't find his way in the Yard Work. So then he just started bringing a tambourine to band practice.
And he just posi-vibed his way into the band.
Yeah, and
being a band.
And he just got good. He didn't really play sax, and he just worked, man. He worked with a dude in a real heavy hitter in Charlotte, Brent Bagwell, and he just he got real good real fast at saxophone, and it changed our sound for the better.
Andy played a fucking gang of shit, man.
Definitely played some trombone.
Well, your son Rod did that with his orchestra. He'd take people in and they'd be a core part of the band.
Yeah, that's how it happened, man.
Okay, how did you get the name Yard Work?
I realized this years later why I named the band that. I didn't have to worry about anything with it being called Yard Work. I didn't have to worry about association. So like, I guess people could kind of like take it for whatever they wanted. It sounds good. It looks good. But I think like I was mowing the grass, like, you know, like last year. I don't know why this came to my head. I was like, man, this is the only time that my brain shuts down is when like there's like this hum of a lawnmower. I'm like staring at green stuff. I'm just like, there's something like it does something to me. And I was like, is this why I came up with that like inane word for this band? I don't know.
Tell me about the first yard work gig.
Oh man, Matt, do you remember this?
Yeah, Yow House.
Yeah, it was wild, man.
Like Yow House, I mean, we haven't mentioned Bo White's name yet here, but so much responsibility and so much praise should go on that fella. Bo White ran a place called the Yow House, which was a house that I lived in for a bit too, that just did real hard work and scheduling very, very good house shows in Charlotte for years.
Seven or eight years. Yeah.
He did a great job with it, did a great job keeping shit under control, did a great job bringing good people in. God bless all the neighbors. Brent Bagwell, the fellow that we mentioned earlier, we were lucky that he was one of the neighbors for a while, so he wasn't too mad about it.
Well, how was this gig? Was it a success for the yard work?
Oh, man. So we did. Yeah, we were practicing a lot, and like our practices were like real high energy, and they were in that house.
Yeah.
And we had all played a lot too, man. I mean, it may have been one of your first performances though, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So we had one guy who couldn't play. So we had to kind of rearrange who was playing what. So we're a little nervous. It was on Groundhog Day too. So that was pretty cool. And we played our songs, man. It probably sounded terrible, but it was real, real fun. And we had people singing along at our first show, and we didn't have any music on the internet or anything. So, people really dug it. And like, you know, we carried that. I feel like that first show, like we carried that energy with us throughout our time together. You know, we're like, if we could make this happen at our first show with no one knowing who we are, like that's pretty exciting.
That's beautiful. I want to play something else that you gave me here called the Tamp.
Oh, yeah.
I got super into all the problems, and I found out it was really hard. I go headlong into dying, cycling, and I found out that too was really hard. I tried to move me, but I couldn't shut up. And anyway, I only speak English. I tried soccer, and I turned into a lush. So I resigned myself to give them all up like Japanese hobbies. A very often part. Very high bar. I'm a barrier to entry. The impossible past the master. Fucking Japanese hobbies. Japanese hobbies. I've had to let go of any kind of hope. Running smooth across the rain and light. Japanese hobbies. I'm not getting any better at either one of them. So I'm taking up checkers. Good, dumb, fun. I have to wait it out. At this little line, lungs. Be a lotus in the mud. Line, dead. And a dead sun. A day.
Thank you. I've seen you be alone. Well, summer's here. The girls are there lounging. The moon, they're low in the sky. And when winter comes, I'll be far away in my lonely room. My friend. To stroll alone, baby. I've seen you stroll alone. The day is
for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with the Tamps doing something live, Japanese Hobbies. Dexter Romweber. Great cat, right from North Carolina with a flat duo Jets. And this is called Dex Romweber Duo. Also had a great sister on drums that we lost. Terrible. That's active, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mitch Easter's been. Okay, Revolver Flavor after that with Jericho. Psychic Hotline with Bodies in the Future. Public Record, Noam Chomsky Blues. Stair Kits, this is some No Wave from 40 years ago. If it's red, it can't be black. And then Sweatlands with Sebastian's World of Gates. So, enlighten us to the Tamps.
That's a couple old punks up here. You know, similar to the story we told before. It's like good people. Half of us are moms. Everybody's got kids but me, I think. And it's the sort of thing, like, you get old enough and you're a punk and you don't have golf weekends or whatever, you have a band. It's a good reason to hang out with folks. It's a good reason to see people every week. It's just a hell of a lot of fun. And I see, you know, through this past year, like I said, it's tough. It's tough for us to get up and practice, but I see everybody. And all just, like, real good people that you want to spend time with.
In the Sweatlands?
Yeah, Sweatlands, that was a Charleston band. That was, when I moved to Charleston, and I wanted to take a little break, but that lasted, like, 3 weeks, and then I started Sweatlands. That was some dudes in Charleston, Mustafa Walker, Anthony Dargan, Miles Walsh, and David Pettipain again, who's become my musical brother in a lot of different bands. But, yeah, that was just kind of like I wanted to start, like, a quiet D-beat band, but that is impossible. So it ended up being a really loud kind of wall of sound. Some sort of rock band, I guess.
Thomas, so I can get a kind of reference.
Yeah.
Music Farm days, Cumberland's days.
This is after Cumberland. Yeah. So I moved to Charleston about 7 years ago. So Cumberland, I never went to a show at
There was
at
two
Cumberland.
Different Cumberlands and I think three or four Music Farms.
Yeah. So this is when Music Farm is on like John Street. So this is kind of more
yeah,
like
at first. At first, it was way out. Then it was like downtown at where the fucking market was, and
yeah, that was before my time. I think I saw you and those Italian dudes play at Royal American. So
that's
the venues
right.
that were happening,
and that was kind of outside of town.
Yeah, just outside of downtown. So like, kind of like Tin Roof and Royal American era would be what I say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to get a reference, because I've been torn for 40 years and it gets blurry. I remember.
Right on, yeah.
You remember an astounding amount. What?
Yeah, man, I'll say.
Okay. Because I can't tell you what I forgot. Riley Space
Stone. Yeah, yeah.
Right within the second hour, May 17, 2021, Dish Watt Peter Show. Special guest Thomas Matthew. Hold time for hour three. May 17, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
We slept on the hard, hard ground. The world crumbling all around. Easy now. Turned on each other like beasts.
apart, a fool at heart. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show, third hour. Start off with Sonder Durans. I think
it's You know what? He's a very good friend of mine. I'm not positive how to pronounce his last name.
No disrespect, right? Because it's beautiful stuff. And a tune called
Easy Now. Sonder is a real interesting character. He and his partner Danny moved out to L.A. and they do scores for movies and more and more soundtracks. I mean, not soundtracks, video games now. Video games need a bunch of music.
Oh, I know.
But them two are the most talented musicians I think I've ever, certainly I've ever played with, maybe ever met.
Somebody asked me to do some crazy bass. It was to something like they're doing gunfights, but like killing everybody. These games are too heavy for a while.
You know, like you think about a movie being long, got to fill it up with music. Video games can be fucking days
forever,
long.
As long as your trigger finger's healthy.
Yeah.
And then Mac Domach with out of Philadelphia's Creeper Sits. Heinbach out of Germany with East End Boys. Slowmatics from Northern Ireland with Khan. Arnacore, True Lies, Miserable Living from the American Werewolf Academy. I played with them twice in Dallas.
The sound of that, I don't know what that sounds like, but I like that name.
Yeah, they're Dallas cats.
Yeah.
They're a good band, nice guys. Vanity Plates. Now, I got this from you cats. Glone 222. Vanity Plate over here is what you pay the DMV.
Yeah. Okay. I think me and those guys and me and a lot of, I don't know, man, there's just this this underground scene of Vanity Plate freaks, man. There's like, you know, there's a lot of Instagram pictures of really amazing vanity plates, and it's like bird watching. But yeah, that was me and I think that recording is me and Brett Nash and Andre Mihailovic. I think that's what that's from. But yeah, that was a Charleston band as well.
Okay, now. Right now, Yard Mode is what kind of in suspension because the members are all in different places?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could call any band that isn't playing in suspension. But I mean, Matt's in New York. I think everybody else, I think Andy's out in Tennessee, somewhere in the mountains. And everybody else is pretty much in North Carolina. But we'll get together and play like every couple years for fun.
Can I put out this trip? Because I've been doing a lot of this in the last 14 months. Trading files on the internet.
Yeah.
I've made whole fucking albums with people I've never met.
That's awesome.
I mean, the internet can be some bullshit, right? You can spread lies and be an asshole. But you can also trade files and make albums with people you never even fucking met.
Yeah, I mean, we've never done that with Yardwork just because, like, as soon as everybody in Yardwork, like, when something kind of ends, so many, it's like coyotes, man. When something ends or something gets crazy, they just start, like, procreating, man. I feel like everybody in Yardwork just started three other bands or started other projects, whether they be music or art or whatever. Like, I mean, Bo White has always been in six bands. I moved to Charleston, started four bands. You know, it's just like, yeah.
You guys are like you're like the neutrons with chain reactions. You started going. You get it going.
Yeah.
You keep it lit. Look, you gave me this other project I want to play for our last music. The Church of American Christian Anarchism.
Yeah.
What's the word on that?
I can say that I have a fair amount to do with music there, but the idea of that project is, or not, it's a church, not a project, but the idea of the work that gets done there is it's not for individual glorification. I get, you know, it's the way that people would talk about gospel music. It's not for you on stage. It's about what you're doing it for. So, I feel comfortable putting it on here saying I had something to do with it, but I can't say too much more about it or who else is involved.
Yeah, purpose-oriented. Sort of like the Tao. To talk about the Tao kind of ruins it.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly I was just talking about how I have like a reflexive crisis mode Taoism. That like I don't walk around thinking that I'm a Taoist, but when the shit goes down, I'm like, all right, man, here's the rhythm, here's the waves, you know, like keep your head above and do what you're gonna do, you know?
Yeah, that's bitching. Let's listen. Thank you.
the tragic and the absurd. Out of the darkness, a light will emerge.
Thank you.
Bought for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. That chunk started with Morning Six, the Church of American Christian Anarchism. Then Special Interest with Fluids Bound Two. Pineal Ventana. This is out of Brooklyn, a studio called Caesar's Palace. Great. And a bass man runs it, Jason Lafarge, and this is one of his projects, and Tania Solium. And then out of Nashville, Kalinich and Tiven with Out of the Darkness. And finally, Ferry Cross 23, which is Flowering Cross, Church of American Christian Anarchism. Okay, so you're saying yard work kind of in stasis. As a unit, but as individual members, they're still multiplying muse projects, collabs.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, there's endless. Like, the family tree gets pretty big, and there's a lot of crossover, too. Like, I play with Bo now and Kathy Music. There's Bo plays in High Cube with Taylor Knox. I mean, it's kind of endless. I mean, Eddie is in a great band called ISS with Rich Ivey that's on, like, Sorry State Records. I think it's on Sorry State, but it you know, Matt's doing ACA, I'm doing quad and a bunch of other stuff. So yeah, man.
A cool thing to mention is, you know, like everybody works together musically. Everybody I imagine held on to pretty good relationships. But a thing why me and Thomas are both here is whatever we found out about each other playing music together. Let us know that we're good working in other capacities too. So if it be the books, if it be other projects like that, you know, once you find out you work well with somebody, that's not to be ignored. And I feel it can be applied to anything, not just fucking around with guitars, you know?
Yeah. I think, Matthew, what you're saying is artistic expression can take a lot of forms.
Yeah, and being able to do that with somebody else is not a given. You know, it's just hard to be able to talk that way with somebody. Yeah. And, you know, a good example, you just played two church songs on here with the files that I was sending to Thomas. I sent him another song from the church just independently of all this, and we're putting together songs to give you what.
Yeah.
And there's three church songs on there, and Thomas sent me the nicest, most decorous, kind text message being like, you know, maybe only two church songs on the podcast. Maybe only three. And I was like, yeah, man, don't worry about it. But like, pointing how to talk to somebody like that about something that they might care about a lot. That's a big skill. That's a big thing in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I think I don't think you learned that at karate practice or football practice. I think you learned that in a creative relationship in a band. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about bands and like touring and like, you know, all the things that people don't really realize that you have to learn, you have to be good at, to make that music and to play it in front of people. You gotta know how to communicate and how to be compassionate. You gotta know how to be on time. You gotta, you know, it's not just standing up there in front of people with a guitar, you know, it's a lot of other stuff that you need to know.
Negotiating skills.
Yeah, absolutely.
You probably don't have to ride 9 hours in the same vehicle with your soccer teammates to the next game, you know? There's a whole lot of stuff that goes on in between all the fun stuff on stage.
Oh, yeah. The person, you know, you can, as far as being skilled with your expression, you can always practice. Maybe with chemistry, you're stuck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I've learned in the last 40-50 years.
You know, hold on to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And don't take it for granted. And, And it's because you're going to end up fucking rebuilding Rome anyway to get another team assembled, right?
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Sometimes us humans are such slow learners. Look. Matthew Thomas, it's been a big honor to have you both on the show.
Oh, so honored to be here. What?
Okay.
Yeah, man. And look, it's been great, man.
I just feel that down the road there is another manifestation of yard work.
So all right. You said it, man.
If that happens, and if you got room for a member 13, I'd be part.
Yeah, two bases, man. Every band, two bases.
Every band needs two bassists, man. We'll definitely do it, man.
You know, if you want to join a church, we got space.
All right, fit me in. Get the shoehorn and fit me in there too, man.
Yeah,
big love to you guys. Come back on when we get new music. May 17, 2021 edition. Wap Pedro, so keep your powder dry.